And again, your spirit receives a capacity to understand God and to be taught. And from then on, your teacher, the Holy Spirit, lives for the day that you'll offer your soul on the altar of God's Word for assimilation, so that you'll make the ministry of the Holy Spirit so much simpler in you to guide you into all truth and reveal Jesus. See, these great men that went before you, these apostles, and they created the legacy of the Word which God adopted as the canon of the Scripture for a standard. People like John lived over 100 years and ministered this gospel, and his crowning achievement in the book of Revelations was a testimonial. All he did was record that. The testimony of Jesus, the gospel of John, what he did also was record his life. But by then he had started receiving quite a bit of revelation, so he mixed his revelation in with the gospel of John. But his crowning achievement is one book, 5 chapters, 2 paragraphs that we call books. Those are his crowning achievements. 5 chapters. 80 years of wisdom into 5 chapters. 80 years. 5 chapters. And you think that it would be worth a little bit more of your respect than an occasional skimming? Make your point about something. If it took him 80 years of wisdom, having walked with Jesus and been the man that had love, the man that outlived all the rest of them, the man that saw his own mother through her old age and death, became her adopted son, but even more, she was his adopted mother. Who would he trust to see his own mother to old age? Yet this man poured everything to the church into 5 chapters. This man went before you. He knew these things. He wrote them down. It behooved you to understand them. But there's a way to assimilate that book. There's a way to assimilate it where you meditate it day and night. You'll meditate it in your car. Just in your conscience moments, you'll meditate it unconsciously. There's a way that you can release the Holy Spirit to work in you every moment. But I'll tell you, all these books, the canon of the Scripture, deserve a lot more respect than your little scriptural referencing trails you give them. You think that's meditation? You don't know anything. Hallelujah. Right now, we're just finding out about who we are and what we have. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, you got a marker in both those chapters. Get ready to fluctuate back and forth between the two. How many remembers when we first broke this 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter and made some astounding statements and later went on to prove them? Generally, I found out that when Paul says the same thing to the Jew that he says to the Gentile, such as in the book of Ephesians as versus the book of Hebrew, or the Roman community he taught to as versus Colossians, Galatians, that he say it just a little bit different. Because one, as someone that come out from under the law, trying to go back under usually, or as to one who's from a Corinthian background and worshipped idols, had no background of law or knowledge. But he says the same thing, only he says them in a different light. But when you find 2 chapters that are saying the same thing, usually they start confirming each other. For instance, just before we jump into this to make our point, I'll show you what I'm talking about. That 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, is about as close as you can get to Romans 8. Especially Oh, the last half of Romans 8. But it's about as close as you can get. And so follow me very, very closely as I make one statement here. Follow me closely, as this can make a difference on how you meditate His Word. Now look at this 12th verse very, very closely with me. Very closely. In our first pass through the Born Again Trail, we made these points. Many of you was not here. But since we're taking a little deeper, we're going to re-explore some of those points, just very briefly. In the 12th verse, he says, "Now we receive not the spirit of the world." And of course, that is the one that we inherited from the first man, Adam, that unregenerated death that was in our human spirit. That's what he calls the spirit of the world. Well, from God now, we didn't get that. What we got from Him was that new life, that new nature that happened to us when we were born again. So since we've been born again, we can boldly say what this verse says. "Now we receive not the spirit of the world, that spiritual death the first man Adam gave me, and the rest of the world." I don't have that one anymore. Well, which one do you have? "The spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now I want you to notice that the S there, the spirit that's of God. Now notice how that's a little S. King James got it right. The King James translators got it right. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. It's a little S because it's talking about your human spirit. Little S in the Greek, when you see the word spirit, it's the same word as spirit of God or spirit of man. It just means spirit. The only way you can tell it's talking about, if he is talking about the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of man, or God as a spirit, is the way the context, the word is used in the sentence structuring. That's the only way that you can tell. So it just so happened in this verse, he is talking right here with this word about your human spirit. So King James got it right. He said, "We receive not the spirit that's of this world, but the spirit that is of God." That's that born again, new nature that's in your human spirit. We receive the spirit that is of God, that born again human spirit. We receive that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now what preachers will do, and I did too in the beginning of the ministry, I preached that was the Holy Spirit. Because that's who I truly thought he was talking about there before the Holy Ghost was able to teach me in that area. But he is not talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about your born again human spirit that received a nature that could be taught and now can know the things that have freely been given to us by God. Which when I was spiritually dead, when I had the spirit that was of this world, I didn't have a capacity to understand anything from God except that I could be saved. Then once I was born again, I had a new nature that could understand the things of God. So King James translators got it right. They got it wrong in most of the rest of the chapter. Like the verse before. Look at the verse before where they capitalize it. Verse 11. "What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Well, they got that right because he said it was the spirit of man. But what he's talking about here is the man that hasn't been born again yet. So what he's saying here is he can't know anything but what's of the old nature. How can you know anything outside of the nature you was born with? Mama piranha, you know, she can teach baby piranha, but mama goldfish that adopted the baby piranha can't hardly teach him anything. She'll say, "Son, quit eating your friends." He says, "Well, just something comes over me." He has the nature of a piranha. So he can only understand the things of a piranha. When a cow falls into the river, nobody has to tell him to eat it. He knows you're supposed to eat it. How does he know that? Because that's the thing of his fallen nature. He knows. Well, nobody had to teach you how to sin. You knew that from the first day you was old enough to know your mom took your toy. Where does those screaming fits come from when you're only 12 months old? And you're good at it. You came in highly developed. Tack your sister at 9 months old, take her toy. From the time that you could lay down beside another baby and rip the toy out of their hand and fight, you fought. You weren't even old enough to talk and you were fighting. You just got better at it when you learned a language to do it with. But notice here, that 11th verse again. Notice, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? Speaking of the spiritually dead man, you only could know the things of your nature. That's why he went on to say, even so. See, he wanted you to understand this so he could compare it to something. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, yet the Spirit of God. Now, that's supposed to be a little S, because this guy got born again. And where the old man couldn't understand the things of God, but now that he has the born again Spirit in him, he can know the things of the Spirit of God. But then he switches in 12, says, now we receive not the Spirit of the world, the one that couldn't know the things of God, the unregenerated one, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, let me show you where he was teaching a Jewish community in Rome where he quoted the same verses. Only you'll see how he quoted them there. Go to Romans 8. Of course, you have a marker there. It's the 15th verse. Now, if this wording, notice how close it is, because these chapters are brother and sister. Notice how close this wording is here now.
Well, how do you know all they're related to each other?
It's called assimilation, you little flesh creature. You assimilate one book, it opens up another one. It'll just snowball on you. What did the 12th verse say of the second chapter? First, we receive not the spirit that's of this world. But notice what he said to the Jew. For you've received not the spirit of bondage again to fear. Oh, really? Then what did we receive? But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, to the Corinthians that worshipped idols, he said it this way. You receive not the spirit that's of this world, but the spirit that's of God, that you might know the things that are freely given to you of God. Here he says, you receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Now notice he puts a capital S there. It's ridiculous. It's the same statement. But see, he put a little S over in Corinthians because they found out that he was talking about the human spirit. But here he put a big S. But it's the same spirit that he's talking about. And in one translation, he translated it as the Holy Ghost in Romans. But in Corinthians, he translated it as the spirit of man. Well, which is it? Because if he translated it one way in one place and another, but they're talking about the same thought, which is it? I guess it's up to me to decide. I've made my decision. It wasn't the Holy Ghost that was adopted. You received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption out of whereby we now cry from our human spirit that went from death to life, was outside of God, but now has been adopted by God with a new nature. It's not the Holy Ghost that got adopted. It was me. You can't adopt God. He adopts you. Holy Ghost doesn't need adopted. And the Holy Ghost wasn't the Spirit that came and adopted you. You received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but what did I receive? The spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. My human spirit has been adopted out of that new nature. I can now cry, Abba, you're more than my Father. You are the intimate one who has become the counselor on the inside of my nature as a Father. And if you want to know the truth, he's talking so strong of the same species. Hallelujah. I am a son of God. I am. Well, see, the primary reason that he's trying to get over to you back in Corinthians here then, the primary reason your spirit has went from death to life, received a new nature, is so that you could be taught. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why? Because before you had that human death nature, and what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him. How could you know anything outside of your death nature? You couldn't. That's why Paul cried out in Romans 7. He says, is the law sin? God forbid, he said. How would I have known sin being spiritually dead and of a death nature? Had the law said, thou shalt not covet. See, the death nature doesn't even know what sin is because you're born with it. And if you live and die with that sin nature and belong to a culture that sacrificed their own kids, and you get sent to heaven for a greater reward by more of your enemy that you kill, you think it's all God. You think that's part of the nature he prescribed that'll get you to sit down at the great campfires of heaven. But you know, one of the worst realizations a man will fall into after living his life in spiritual death, and chanting and fasting and chanting and living your whole life chanting and cleansing yourself, thinking you're going to be reincarnated. Close your eyes the last time and then notice you're heading on a downward descent. Only to find out as you're mocked in hell that you were a victim of deception. And you don't think it's worth giving your life in prayer for your own children? You don't think it's worth overcoming the complacency, lackadaisiness of your flesh just because you've got a ticket home through the new nature? You don't think it's worth taking your place around the great campfires of the Holy Spirit to give your life for Him? Is your boast in grace how little you can do and get by with it? You serve the baser side of grace. Well, I thank God for His grace, for I found it to be the greatest tool to trade my weaknesses off for His strength. I find out that He's willing to give me more of His standing than I can handle. The last great thing He's scheduled to do for me, He scheduled it into the future long enough to have mercy on me and let me finish dying in certain areas. To me, that's an act of mercy. Thank you, thank you. Hit me again now. Know who I am, so do you. Not only do you know where you're going, but you've made yourself so accountable because you know how to get there. So he said to the man that knew the Father's will and did not do it, he was beat with many, many, many stripes of the loss of reward. God's not actually going to take a whip and beat you. That was a parable. But believe me, when you stand before Him in the day of reward, And you knew your father's will and laid in bed and didn't do it. Knew it. Knew how to do it. You'd have wished there were physical stripes. Because they get over with. An eternal loss of reward. Doesn't. Thank God for His grace again. Because He's made provision for the complacency of your flesh to see to it. And you get to heaven. The last judgment will take place in heaven when He burns your old lackadaisy flesh and lack of reward. Turns you loose in the joy of the Lord, free of condemnation, with a heaven ahead of you and an eternity. No reward. Hallelujah. I'd rather be beaten now than then. But He said the man that did not know His will, a victim of a teacher, possibly, who swore to them it was the truth when he denied them the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd rather be you, the one deceived by him, than him who deceived you. And he said, any man that breaks the least of these my commandments and teaches other men to do so is least in the kingdom. You know who least is? You just get there is all. You just get there. Well, a man that didn't know his will, so he didn't do them, was beat with lesser stripes. Lesser. The reason? It was still up to you. You were sitting there under a teacher, overpowering the conscience and the ability of the new nature to try to tell you something's wrong. It's just a whole lot easier to sit there and let somebody else do all the work, isn't it? I strive for your independence. I strive with you every day for you to get free. Get free of me. Get free of everybody. It's only when you really get free and the Holy Ghost becomes your teacher, do you really plug in here? That's when you become willing to give your life, no hesitancy, to see revival. Hallelujah. Woo. Why? Because when I was born again and you were born again, He wanted you to know very carefully you don't have the same spirit that you got from Adam anymore. You got the one you got from the last man, Adam. You have the same nature in you that worked in him. And in that nature you have a capacity, an unlimited capacity to understand all that God has for you. And with that capacity, then you're able to understand the things of God. And therefore He sent you the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. And that's what these next verses deal with. So you ready to follow closely here? All right. In a few moments here, we'll be back over into Romans somewhat. So if you had that marker, don't take it out. But right now, we're still on that verse. So looking at it again. 15th. Whoops. Corinthians. Twelfth verse, now we receive not the spirit of this world, or the spirit of the world, the one Adam gave you. But you receive the one that you can freely know the things, the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, because Paul is speaking of his office here, and he already went in, as he said, In the 6th and 7th verse, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Paul's already went into God, and he's received the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's already trying to teach these things to the Corinthians. So he's saying your spirit can freely know these things that's hid in that mystery since before the foundations of the world. And the 13th verse is making reference back to the 7th verse, which is saying, which things also we speak. Not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth. Well, what things is he talking about? Well, you know that 7th verse, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even that hidden wisdom, at one time it was hid away in a mystery. But Paul and others like him was born again, went into that mystery and pulled it out so they could give it to the church. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Not that they're speaking God's wisdom and it is a mystery and you can't understand it. It was hid in a mystery. They went in and got it. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained for the church, the born-again church, before the world. And it is our glory, unto our glory. So in the 13th verse, he's about to give you some of those, see? When he says, which things also we speak, this wisdom that was hid in a mystery, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, because kingdoms come, kingdoms went. The 9th verse, as it is written, eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard. It's not entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. So the unregenerated, unborn again heart, these things couldn't enter into them. But now that they're born again, Paul says we can teach these mysteries that was once hid away in God, the wisdom that's in them, we can now teach them. And in the 13th verse, that's what he's talking about. Which things we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, because the spiritually dead heart come and went, and they couldn't receive this wisdom. But we can, because we've been born again. So he says, but which, or the wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, the Holy Ghost teacheth by comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Now he goes back to the unborn again man. The unborn again man in the 14th verse. And says, but the natural man receiveth not these things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned or understood by your new nature. So back to that 13th verse, which things also we speak, these things that were once hid away in a mystery, but we now have the wisdom of them. We understand them, so we can speak them. Which things also we speak, not in the words wisdom that man teacheth, because man didn't teach us. He says, but what the Holy Ghost taught us by comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Now, isn't this interesting? Because Paul just revealed how he was taught by the Holy Spirit. Now, do you notice when he did mention the Spirit of God, he did so by calling Him the Holy Ghost? Why didn't he just say, by that the Spirit of God teacheth us? But he didn't. He says, which things the Holy Ghost teacheth. So the Holy Ghost taught Paul. And Paul is trying to get this wisdom over to the Corinthian church. But what he did was revealed how the Holy Ghost taught him. And the medium that the Holy Ghost used to teach him with was that supernatural language. He says, not in the language which man's wisdom teacheth, but in a language the Holy Ghost teacheth. And in this supernatural language, somehow, he was able to make a comparison between the nature of God and my nature, spiritual things to spiritual, So if the Holy Ghost was able to go in and take the things of God and make me understand them, God comparing them to the new nature I had received when I was born again. So the Holy Ghost has the privilege of going out and praying entire mysteries of Christ. Then after He prays them out, to take them and compare them to the new nature of my spirit and cause me to understand them. That's why I understand what Paul knew. At least as much now as he's brought me down the trail to understand. Now, I thank God that I know as much or understand as much as he knew about the born-again trail to this point to put me on the trail to understand more. But do you notice he said compare spiritual to spiritual? And when I say thank God I understand what Paul knew now, and it's about this subject of the Holy Spirit as our teacher. Now that much I do know. But did you notice the wording he used here? In the language the Holy Ghost useth, comparing. Now, in order to compare one thing to another, the thing God is wanting to compare is something we already have. How can you make a comparison if the thing you're comparing it to doesn't already have something? How do you compare twins? My God. Unfortunately, they got the same nose. One thing about it in twins is when they're a boy and a girl, and they're identical twins. But I can't compare twins unless the second twin has something to compare it to. Well, when you were first born again, you were standing there, as they would say, I got another name for it in the world, baby naked. But of course they had another word in there. I know none of you are familiar with the world enough to think of it. Because when you were first born again, you just a strapping little old baby naked spirit sitting there. You came into the kingdom, translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light, and His dear Son. Here you are standing there in His kingdom. He said, unless you be born again, Matthew said, and become as little children, be converted and become as little children. He said, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, your rebirth is synonymous with a natural birth. You were born with a brain, with a capacity in your natural birth to assimilate the world around you and learn all about it. You have the power to assimilate the language you were born into and three or four more. That's the power and ability of your natural birth. Every one of you in here just about speaks two languages. I speak two languages.
Well, we know you're talking about tongues, Brother Roberson.
No, I'm not talking about the one that was given to you by a gift. Big deal. It leaves your ability out. We discount that one. Although I preached 13 or 14 languages now, I lost count in the supernatural language. Preached and testified and prayed. 14 languages that the world knows that I don't. French. But in my natural man, I had the ability to assimilate two languages by the time I was the first, second year in school, you know. Assimilated two languages. I could assimilate four or five more. Now, you speak two languages, most of you, and if many of you didn't speak the second language, you probably wouldn't tell anybody. But I was badgering. I was badgering her. I said, how many languages do you speak? And she says, one. And I says, no, you speak two. She says, the Holy Ghost? I said, no, that's cheating. I said, but you do speak two languages. She says, I do. I said, yeah, you do. But about everybody does. I do. She said, what's the second language? I says, it's a language of symbols. She said, show me. I said, okay. And I took a paper and I wrote down some symbols. And I said, I showed it to her and I says, what does it say? And she says, the, because I wrote down T-H-E. Now tell me, how do you translate a bunch of scribbles, movements on a piece of paper to a language you speak? But you do it instantly. Do you think? Not anymore. Not unless you run across the word that you don't know what it means. Then you have to look at it and use the skills that you learned when you learned the language to break the word down. But usually you just assimilated the symbols. You just look and you say, duh, and you can just read as fast as you can look across the page. Very fast. You're translating symbols into utterance as fast as you can look at it with your eyes. Much less having a certain sound mean something. And then you translated symbols into that sound. So you speak two complete languages. Can you convert Japanese into your sound? No, because that's a foreign writing. You could have went on to learn three or four or five more languages. It's just the ability of your natural man if you would have assimilated it. See? Now, what do you think the ability is of the hidden man of the heart? Yeah, you're just born again into this world now. Born again into the kingdom of God now. You're standing there with a new nature. What do you have that's like God's? Now, if He's going to begin to teach you in the Holy Ghost, He's going to start this comparing system. And here God's standing over there, but yet you've got something that He can compare what He has with. But you don't know nothing. You've just been born again. So it's not your astounding knowledge that He's comparing what He knows with. So what do you have? What do you have that He's comparing what He has with? Your new nature. Your new nature. Because when you were born again, you received as a son of God a nature like His own. We've been made a partaker of His divine nature through His exceeding and precious promises, because the Word of God is thoughts and little bits of pieces of information that reveal His divine nature that is like my nature, that makes me a partaker of that part of His divine nature, because I am His son. And I have a tremendous capacity to be taught. And I am hungry. And when you're so dumb that you can't even look into a mirror, He's give you a supernatural language that prays endless hours of the content of the mysteries of God that is setting you up, not in a language that man's wisdom teaches, but Paul says, this is how I was taught, in a language the Holy Ghost taught, by comparing the nature of God to my nature, the knowledge of God to my nature, the part of me that could understand everything that He is. Wake me up, supernatural language. Become my teacher. Are you glad that He's come to guide you into all truth? The Holy Ghost, third person in the Godhead. He has the same nature as the Father and the Son, and He's come to make the comparison in your nature. He said, listen, little goldfish. You can understand the things of goldfish because you are a goldfish. Just to think, you have that teacher willing to teach you the way He taught Paul. And that's about the only way you can understand His teachers. That's where all the wacky doctrines come from. Not being able to discern spiritual things because they won't let a divine nature teach their nature. Mama goldfish had baby piranha she was trying to adopt. She's trying to teach him how to build goldfish nests. And all he wants to do is go out and eat his friends. She just couldn't seem to beat a goldfish nature into him. She beat him and beat him and beat him. And one day, Mama Piranha come back and ran Mama Goldfish off. Took her child back. Says, "Child, we got a lot of time to make up for. Oh, baby piranha, come with me. We're going to go down where the cows graze near the river." Now, little baby piranha, I don't know what that goldfish taught you, but when that cow starts crossing the river, he says, "Never mind, Mama. Secretly, I've been doing this for years. I know what to do." Why? Because he's got a nature to do it. "Come on, Holy Spirit, teach me. I have an understanding what to do. I know I can walk in the power. I know I can move mountains. Come on. Come on, let's leave this world behind. Teach me. Teach me, Mama Piranha. Teach me. I can leave this world behind. Do the things." That's right. Because I've got a nature to understand them. That's right. Hallelujah. And that's why this word discern here. The word discern. Back in the 14th verse, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." An unregenerated man that has a sin nature, he can't understand the things of God. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the nature of the born again Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," spiritually understood. Now that word discerned is a much stronger word than knowledge. It's a stronger word as for nature. That without the right nature, you couldn't understand it. So notice what he says here in 14. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God." He can't. Because he does not have a new nature. He's not born again. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, as in a nature. Could only be understood by a nature. That's all new nature. See, he said, "But he that spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Because the only way that that man has to know the things of man is that spirit of man that's in him. So he has no basis to judge what you are or what you know. The 16th verse, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But right here he stops and he says, "But you have the mind of Christ." Right, that mind of Christ that you have now is as in born again. It is part of the equipment of the hidden man of the heart, the new creation. He said that mind of Christ that you have is a mind of Christ as in standard equipment to the new man that's come into existence. Just like he said, "I no longer have the spirit that's of this world, the spirit that's of God." What he's talking about is, "I have the Spirit of Christ." Now when I say I have the Spirit of Christ, follow me very closely. What do I have, an additional spirit than my human spirit? Or do I have an additional spirit other than the Holy Spirit? And then do I have on top of my human spirit and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ? So do I have three? Or do I have two? Or is the Spirit of Christ the Holy Spirit? No. No. When he said, "We have the Spirit of Christ," this is what he's talking about. I used to have the Spirit of Adam. I did not have Adam's human spirit. He had his own individual human spirit. I have my own individual human spirit, and I'll have it for eternity. But I used to have the spirit of Adam because I had the spiritual death that I inherited from the first man, Adam. But I don't have that anymore. Why? Because I have the spirit of the second man, Adam, which is the spirit of Christ. I don't have Jesus' individual human spirit because he is at the right hand of the Father. He's as much God as he is man. But make no mistake, no mistake. To be a human being, he had to have a human spirit. And that never was lost. He was only glorified. He was only quickened from death to life. It's the same human spirit. I don't have Jesus' human spirit. I have my own. But I have the life. That life that was in him is now in me. That's what I have when I say I have the spirit of Christ, the born again human spirit. Well, part of the standard equipment is a brand new spiritual mind that has the same capacity that's in that human spiritual mind of Christ. I was recreated with a mind just like his that has a total capacity to understand spiritual things. So I can discern spiritual things. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. Alright, in Romans 8, where he's talking about the same thing now. If you want to flip over there a minute, and I'll talk about this mind of Christ he's talking about one more time here. Romans 8. Only this time, a classical verse we all love, which is the 26th verse. Now, as you know, that 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, is a sister chapter to Romans 8, and they both say the same thing. This is why Romans 8 and the sixth verse, notice the same kind of wording as in the 15th verse. Notice the sixth verse, for to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now notice 7, because the carnal mind is the enemy of God, the unregenerated mind. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So it cannot. See, and it's saying the same thing. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Of course, then when you get down to the 15th verse, there's our old friend again. For receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear. In the 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, he said, you receive not the spirit of this world. So see, it is the same chapter, but taught as to one who understood the law and the other one who did not. But now by the time we get down to the mind of Christ, you find that in the 26th verse of Romans 8. See? Now see what he says here? Verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps our weaknesses. That's the Holy Spirit. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but he makes intercession using the supernatural language of comparison. Tongues of comparison. Spiritual things to spiritual. He says, 26, makes intercession groanings which can't be uttered, the supernatural language. And he that searcheth the hearts, our hearts, the Holy Spirit again, he knows something. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. All right, the mind of the Spirit that he's talking about here is the one that the Holy Ghost brought with him. Which one is that? That's the mind of Christ. That's his mind, the mind of Christ that is full of the knowledge. That's the one the Holy Ghost brought with him. See, and he that searches your heart already knows what's in the mind of Christ because he has the mind of the Spirit. Now he's making this intercession for you according to what he knows in the mind of Christ, which is the will of God, trying to get his mind into yours. And then look at 27th verse. 28th verse. And now we can know all things will work together for the good to them that love God according to His purpose. So now we know He can work His purpose in us. Why? Because he's working his mind in us. How? By the language of comparison, which is the supernatural language of tongues. Who taught who? Who taught Paul? Who found out that this is how he helps our weaknesses? We trade our mind for his. We find out God's plan. Now we know all things work together for the good. Them that love God are called according to His overall purpose. Why? Because I found His mind. And I found out my mind had a capacity to understand His mind. Hello, teacher. Hello, teacher. The ministry of comparison. Where are you, Holy Ghost? Making me smart. Anoint me. Making me smart. Woo! How many's going to pray a little more in the Holy Ghost? Feel some all-nighters coming on, do you?
Well, how much I get just praying an hour's worth? What if I prayed all night?
All night's worth. Pretty soon you'll just start understanding things that most of your teachers out there don't know, because you can't get revelation knowledge out of a golf club. My God is a miracle worker. He is a miracle worker. You better watch out. If your teacher analyzes Scripture according to intellect, because if his intellect is the only unmerciful thing that he's at the mercy of, then he's going to tell you some squirrely things. You can have a new nature and even have the Holy Ghost and not have him be your teacher. That's why God gave you a supernatural language to begin your journey when you're quite carnal.
Well, I hate everybody and I love nothing. But I'll pray in tongues if you say so.
You have launched on a journey of change.